Welcome to Dopey, a podcast about drugs, addiction, and dumb shit. And I'm Dave. And by popular demand, we have brought back the most, possibly the most popular reoccurring Dopey guest.
Your only one.
No, we have a lot of recurring Dopey guests. You know how many? We have my dad. We have Nick Reiner.
Okay.
We have Justin, Sam. Sam's only been on twice.
Aurora.
Right,
okay.
Fucking.
Sorry, guys.
Bob Forrest. There's a ton of reoccurring Dopey guests. Well, who else?
And I'm most popular.
But the most popular and most beautiful and most difficult.
I'm more beautiful than Bob Forrest?
Yes. Is my beautiful partner, Linda. So welcome back to the show. Congratulations. And thank you for coming on and putting up with this. Now, that thing you guys heard before we started was back in the day, and I have this new plan with the show, which is that I'm going to explain stuff that people who don't necessarily listen to the show will understand. So a guy named Chris started the show with me. Chris was my good friend from rehab. We did 142 episodes, and then he relapsed, and he overdosed, and he died. And now I'm doing the show without him, but he's doing the show in spirit. And,
yes.
And Linda's doing the show today in body. But that thing was back in the day, Chris and I had, it was actually my idea, but Chris and I had set up a Dopey theme song contest, of which we got a few entries, and that entry was actually Chris's favorite.
Yeah, it reminds me of Tom Waits a little bit.
Does it?
Yeah.
He, like, put the phone on his piano, and the piano's very out of tune. We just thought it was funny. I'm not even sure who sent it in. It's on YouTube. I just figured out how to convert.
Doesn't he say in it, go to meetings?
He said, go to a meeting with Dopey. Recovery with Dopey, yeah.
I like that.
It's very beautiful.
Very catchy.
It's a catchy little ditty. And obviously, we never did the Dopey theme song contest, but the winner of the Dopey theme song contest would have been not this guy, but my friend who doesn't want me to ever say his name on the show. He's the one who says he would like to have sex with Chris. Okay. You ever hear that one?
I didn't. That's what the song's about?
Well, the song is about Dopey, but he says in the song that he says,
what would the prize have been for the winner?
I don't think there would have been a prize. I think the prize would have been that would have been the theme song for a week or two or something. But the prize was participating and helping the show. And that prize is still out there. In fact, I'm thinking of relaunching the Dopey theme song contest.
You should.
So the doors are now open.
Are you officially starting it?
Yeah, why don't you make the announcement?
The doors are now open for the Dopey theme song contest.
Could you please slide the microphone so it's in front of your face?
How's that?
That's better. The doors are open.
I do think you should come up with what the prize will be.
Well, what could the prize be?
I mean,
what could the prize be?
Like a Dopey trophy, like that head, the nodding out head, and like gold on a trophy.
We could maybe get a 3D printer and do a foam Dopey head.
I think that would be really cool.
Instead, the prize is going to be a hat and some stickers.
And the head should actually like actively nod. Like a nodding out real, like put a battery in it.
How well
like
do you
think? Real nodding out head.
How well do you think you know me? Do you think I can construct a Dopey head that nods out?
Well, how are you going to use you have a 3D printer?
No, I was joking. I'm going to send them a hat. If you win the Dopey theme song contest, you get a hat and some stickers.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's the prize.
And there's new hats. You see the new hats? Look at the new hats. These are the new old hats.
That's like a hat my dad wears.
Describe it.
My 75-year-old dad.
Describe it.
It looks like a hat that a 75-year-old man wears.
You're not making it attractive to the audience. Describe it.
I don't know how to describe that.
It's a Dopey head with the crossbones underneath, like it's
the
skull
style
and cross.
Of the hat.
It's called a dad hat.
Okay.
And then the back says.
Or it could be grandpa.
No,
hat.
We want to sell the hats. The back says what?
Dopey Nation.
And the new hat. What do you think about the new hat?
I like that hat.
Describe it.
It's. Oops. Sorry.
Please describe the hat.
It's the same grandpa style.
It's a dad hat.
But it's black, which I like the black more than the like tan. And it has the head.
The Dopey hat.
And white on the black. It's cool. I like it.
And on the back it says?
It says Dopey Nation.
So we have those hats, and then we have one of these. Well, what do you call these hats?
Isn't that like a skull cap?
Or?
It's the one Artie was wearing in that picture.
Yes. Anyway, so we have hats. If you want a hat.
It's a great prize.
It's a great prize. You can pick your prize. Send in a theme song. Make it less than a minute and 30 seconds. A minute would probably be the best.
Yeah.
So, Lynn, how are you?
I'm good.
You excited to be back on the show?
I'm really excited.
Now, there's a lot of exciting news. A lot of exciting news. And Linda has a whole social worker-esque dopey project that we're going to engage in today on the show.
But I was given a very limited amount of time for it, though, so...
Well, everything
is... Get up and get to my part.
Time is of the essence. The big news, there's really big news that tonight... It's the biggest news
ever.
You know, it's the biggest news in the history of Dopey, besides Chris dying. It's the biggest coverage of the show. You know, I hate to say that Chris dying is news, but that's obviously bigger news than this.
Right.
Right. Or, you know, and Todd dying, of course. But I don't want to get you guys depressed. The big news is... What are you shaking your head about? Do you think I'm depressing the audience? The big news is... Tonight, This American Life, Ira Glass's show, is doing a huge piece about Dopey.
On NPR.
On National Public Radio and also on the This America Life podcast.
Right.
This American Life podcast.
Which has a bazillion listeners.
Well, it has 5 million listeners. So the Dopey Nation might grow a little bit. So sorry, guys, if you guys are comfortable in your current state. There might be some growth in the Dopey Nation, but there might be no growth in the Dopey Nation. Who knows?
Could go either way.
Could go either way. But it's very exciting news either way. I actually sat in the This American Life studio for 7 hours to go over...
It's a very professional piece.
Hopefully. We haven't heard it.
This American Life is top notch.
Yeah, and actually, like, Linda's friend asked me to help her. She wants to do a podcast, and she asked my advice on how to do a podcast. And when I mentioned the woman who helped, who made this piece for This American Life, she was like, oh, and her name is Dana Chivas. So if you guys know Dana Chivas's work, she's doing the Dopey piece. She actually worked on Serial. So this is a big deal.
Wow, yeah.
Big deal for the history of Dopey. Tonight, you know, it's actually... What's today, actually? Today's actually Thursday.
Isn't it Friday?
Tomorrow? Today is Thursday. Right. Tomorrow is Friday. But if you're listening, it's today. And I would say, like, just about an hour ago, it was on in Chicago. Because I'll probably air this show at 9, and the This American Life piece will air in Chicago at 8. I know tomorrow in New York, Saturday afternoon at 1, it's going to be on WNYC.
Okay.
And it's going to be across the country. And then on Sunday, it's going to be released online as a podcast.
Okay. Yeah, you want to let people know how they can... find it.
On thisamericanlife.com, I'm sure you can find it. And if you have a, whatever your NPR station.
My friend wanted to have a listening party.
Who?
Joe. But you're gonna, I said, there's no way he can wait, you know, till the next day to sit at a listening party. He's gonna want to listen to this the second.
I would also love, I mean, that's where a Dopey Nation listening party could be something, because it's like to listen, you know, to listen with people who are actually invested in the show. You know, I wish I could sit with you and listen, but I'm going to get out of work and I'm just going to put on my headphones and listen. Okay. But I'll come home and I'll listen again, because it's like, are you kidding me? This is very exciting.
You listen to it over and over and over.
I might listen to it over and over.
And then we'll go into the listening party.
And then we'll go to the listening party and listen to it again. Something else happened, and we're not going to get to Linda's piece for a little while, so sit tight.
I should just leave for a while.
And I need you.
Okay.
Something else happened that it happened kind of at the same time that the This American Life thing was gaining its momentum. And I don't know. I wanted to use it. It's this guy. Hold on. I love this so much. It's an email I got from this guy. He doesn't want me to say his name. He wants me to call him Wooster.
Worcestershire?
Like, because he's a Boston guy, or Wooster. It's like a section in Boston. Glaster, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, man, he fucking put in some serious work, and he made this series called Dopey Chopped and Screwed, where he made 8 episodes or 10 episodes of Dopey Chopped and Screwed. And I'm going to play the second one, because I love the second one. I should play the first one. Maybe I'll go back and play the first one, but I like the second one more than the first one. So I'm going to start with the second one. If you guys want to hear the first one, maybe I'll play it next week, or maybe I'll just refer you to his YouTube page.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read his email, because it's very beautiful. Dave, your podcast has had a huge impact on me over the last 6 months. For the sake of full disclosure, the few times I ever took opiates, it was for medical reasons, and I got so violently ill that I never had any interest in pursuing recreational use. I was always more of a pot and psychedelics person anyway. Funny enough, your podcast and your story in particular has played a critical role in helping end a 15-year run of smoking pot every day, all day, as I get ready for my first kid and prepare to hit the ground running as a father with a clear head. How's the chicken cutlet, Lynn? I wish I had caught on soon enough to catch the Chris episodes. Wow. See, that's the other thing, is that we're getting all these listeners who started listening after Chris died, which is why it's good that I explained who Chris was, because it's so sad. I wish I had caught on soon enough to catch the Chris episodes as they happened, but unfortunately I found the podcast after his passing. I'm a start at episode one kind of guy, just like you. So that's what I did right away. I'm like, what the fuck is up with these dudes? Their recordings sound like shit. There's a fucking fish tank bubbling in the background, sirens, doorbells, burping, farting, and yet here I am 170 episodes later. Was so pumped about the show that I posted about Dopey on a fish message board, thinking it would be right up the collective drug band experience. I'm sorry, it would be right up the collective drug band message board alley. And the fish message board is obviously P-H-I-S-H, not like the fish in the fish tank. A couple posts and I read R.I.P. Chris. Crushing, heartbreaking, somehow infuriating. It is a strange experience when you feel the sadness and grief over the loss of someone you don't actually know, and yet after listening to you guys shoot the shit for hours and hours, I felt like I did know you guys. Maybe I never met either of you, but you guys became my buddies in a way. You were there for my runs in the woods, my time out with my dog, my drives around town. You were there as I felt the relief of starting up the car to head home after a long day at work. The rapport that you and Chris shared on air was so genuine. You guys had this hilarious love-hate relationship, but I could tell you both really cared about each other behind all the dopey stick. That's what Chris would call shtick. He would say stick to bother me. So many belly laughs as I listened to you absolutely tear into Chris for his various stupidities, and Chris would simply shrug it off, as it seems he often did. As a gesture to let you know how much the show means to me, I've been working on a project for you and the Dopey Nation. I've made a series called the Chopped and Screwed episodes. The idea was inspired by a line you dropped encouraging anyone in the Dopey Nation who could cut audio to make some sort of audio collage, and the title was inspired by a line Chris said about an episode. Well, ask and you shall receive. There are 10 episodes, blah, blah, blah. Some are a little longer than your sweet spot, but I think they fucking rock, and I think the Dopey Nation would like to hear them too. I agree. I think they're amazing.
That's awesome.
You know, I listened to them, and I fucking was sitting on the couch laughing.
Yeah. I remember when you were listening to it, and you seemed like you were having the best time.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird to have, you know, let me finish this.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I uploaded them to YouTube because it seemed like a quick and easy thing to get them to you. I purposely didn't label them with any dopey tags so you could get the first run and check them out. If that's no good, I can eat blah, blah, blah. This is all technical stuff. I'm excited to see where you take the podcast from here. I know you have what it takes to keep this thing going, and I really hope you do. The show is so much more than a stupid, broke-down podcast, which is what I called it. Your words, not mine. You are reaching people and changing lives. If anything, the losses documented on the podcast undeniably demonstrate how fucking horrible drug addiction is, how deadly these drugs are, and how important working hard at recovery is for everyone who is still trying to make it. The final episode hits on this. It's a long and it's a little heavy. It's very heavy, the last Chopped and Screwed episode. It's everybody who's died that's been attached to Dopey, and them on Dopey, and then after they died. It's incredibly heavy. But beautiful. But I think the final message is meaningful and represents the show's format of tempering the real dopey with a pinch of reality and seriousness. Anyways, I hope you enjoy the clips. I'll attach the dopey pictures I made in case you feel like using any. He made these great pictures that I love too. I have a couple other things in the works for you too. Keep an eye out. Stay strong, Dave. Toodles. There you go. Beautiful. So let's play. I'm just going to play episode one. Fuck it, right? I'm not going to play episode two. Play episode one.
I mean, play your if it's your favorite, maybe play your favorite.
It's not. I like them all. And it seems like your mic is very low.
Start with episode one so everybody can kind of hear And then I'm sure the listeners are going to listen to this whole thing.
Okay, I'm going to play episode one because it's episode one.
If anybody out there in the Dopey Nation is good at, like, cutting up audio, why don't you hit us up? We will hand over the Dopey archives to you, and you can create a little audio collage. What? You want to do something with those one-liners.
So this is like a chopped and screwed episode.
So we'll call it the chopped and screwed episode. First episode of Dopey, the dumbass podcast about drugs. And I have to say this first. Chris is a total bottomed out, junkie, alcoholic, drug fiend.
Cokehead.
Yes, cokehead, crystal meth shooter, vodka shooter, fucking phenobarbital thief.
8 years for a little phenobarbital?
I am extremely lucky and grateful
and wealthy
that I'm in one piece and alive.
That's like your shtick. You go to places where the average stay is 28 days and you stay 6 months.
Yeah.
So do they know that you're a horrible drug addict?
I mean, everything's true you said except I'm Catholic and I ate cheeseburgers instead of corn. But I'm a gentle person.
Very gentle. Very gentle soul. Like a lamb.
Yeah.
Which is why he talks like a girl.
Can I even say we are recovered? You're not recovered.
There's no such thing. Let me tell you something. You are not recovered. There might be such a thing as recovered, but you are not it.
My name's Chris.
That's great, Chris.
And I'm recovered.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. And I'm fucking crazy.
And it's like, no wonder I'm fucking a weirdo.
And if you hear the flick of a Bic, that would be Dave lighting up an analog.
Analog?
That's what they're calling them now.
Who's they and what? Why?
The MFLs.
They call cigarettes analogs?
Yeah, because it's digital.
If this show is ever about recovery, you gotta get somebody else in this spot. I'm out.
We just got an email that said I was an asshole.
I also heard from everybody that I played it for that I interject too much.
I like your interjections.
You know what I say to y'all? Fuck you. I don't fucking care.
Why don't you suck a dick?
Yeah.
Love me.
Please. How about you fucking douchebags listening? Are you upset that I interrupted Chris's story?
I love the Dopey Nation, but come on now. They're not called the Dopey Nation because they're geniuses.
I just don't think anybody's listening. The only people listening are your stupid minnows over there.
How dare you?
I'll tell you about Dave's fish tank, which is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Just shut up. The fish don't really have anywhere to go. It seems like they don't have a life, you know? They just, like, pace in the waiting room of life. Oh. Just shut the fuck up, man. Would you say you were any crazier than any other crackhead, dope-shooting, coke-shooting, phenobarbital-thieving, alcoholic, fucking DMT-shooting, school-tie, suit-and-tie-wearing fucking gun? Chris, the psychedelic preppy.
You're retarded.
Listen, I am a slob, and I don't dress well, but I like a nice tie. I'm a sick fuck. Chris is a real alcoholic.
Yes.
So you're going to tell more alcohol stories?
Alcohol is part of my story.
It's annoying.
Harry Potter is an alcoholic. That little kid from Hogwarts is a booze bag.
This is a fucking podcast about drugs. It's not about alcohol.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I love Chris. He's a really good guy, but he has SMI. And they never know what that is. And I say, it's severe mental illness.
Chris definitely has mental illness.
You not severe, see, though. You should regular mental.
No, you have SMI.
I have short-term memory loss.
What are we talking about?
I'm drawing a blank right now. So, what are we talking about?
What the fuck was I gonna say? Where was I? I don't even know what we talked about 5 minutes ago. I literally, by the end of an episode, I can't remember what we talked about at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You're like a goldfish. You remember the last 8 minutes and you say,
no, you're right.
What do you do with your day? Chris doesn't even work. Have you ever estimated how much money your parents have spent on rehab?
There's been some estimates.
Ding dong. Daddy, I need some money to fix up my car. Okay, Chris. Chris. Here's $50,000. Get yourself a new satellite radio. Thanks, Pop. Can I get a sandwich? Sure, buddy. Here's a sandwich.
Yes, my dad did finance the room.
Oh, your parents paid for the hotel room.
They assisted.
Under the auspice
of what? They assisted.
Under the auspice of what? You said you needed a hotel for
of
what?
Of wanting their baby to be happy.
I don't have anything, but I mean, I love sucking on the family tit.
That was pretty funny when you were ragging on me about my lifestyle.
Why are you rocking back? What's wrong with you? He's like autistic. He's rocking back and forth. Hey, where are the drugs in this story?
Okay.
We have skiing. We have fucking shitting diapers, Apple Jacks on the table, Milky Footsteps. Yeah. There's no drugs.
I need a drug story, man. I'm dying over here.
Anyway, thank you for listening to Dopey, the story about gay jerking off in prep school podcast. Dude, Chris, clap for the audience.
Yes.
Wes, not clap. He's banging his fucking vape against the plastic table. This vape thing has got you by the balls.
When I come here, I know it's black coffee, dark chocolate, and vaping.
Dopey Nation, stay strong. Stay strong, my brothers and sisters in Dopeyville.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it more than Chris did.
Mike, thank you for the email. I'll give you a few knocks with my vape.
I don't want to do this vape knocking thing. It's going to sound like shit. All
right.
Write us an email and tell Chris to stop fucking banging the vape. Join us on the Facebook dumb shit. Fucking like our stupid fucking Instagram.
Toodles.
And then he plays Good So Bad, but I didn't play that because it's long. I mean, it's like, it's an investment to listen to these things. It might be way too long for Dopey.
That's a lot of work.
This guy, who knows how long he spent doing this.
Just even getting all of Chris's, from like hundreds of episodes.
Well, that's the best part.
Yeah, that was really funny.
But it's also like, it's incredibly sad, but it's also still, it's still very funny to me.
It is. I found myself getting sad, but then laughing. So that's...
It's the show. The show is a bittersweet show. I was talking to somebody about this, you know, and people might get bored listening to this. I just figured that the hardcore listeners would love this. Maybe I won't put any more on the show. Maybe I'll just direct you to the YouTube page. But they're amazing. And for me, it's like, you know, Chris and I were friends for a long time, but we weren't really that close until we started doing Dopey. Mm-hmm. So it's like basically it's like having a friend where you recorded 70% of your friendship.
Right.
You know, so it's like, for me, it's like, I remember those moments, or I remember where they could have been, and like, it's just, it's very beautiful, and it's like...
Well, it's listening to a friendship develop in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And grow together. I mean, that's, I think that's what's so powerful about it, is we get to, like, witness that.
Yeah, yeah. And, again, if it bored anybody, I'm sorry, but I really, really felt like I had to play it and pay a tribute. And now, let's jump into the, we're going to call the segment Social Worker Time with Linda.
So this is, I find this, all right, that's a weird transition.
Dun, 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 dun. It's social worker time.
I hope Worcestershire makes a chop.
Worcester.
Worcester makes a chop of my appearances.
You want a Linda? A Linda episode?
A Linda chop.
All right.
So, I mean, basically, I did a post on Dopey Nation just asking for people to send their experiences with how to talk. Mainly, it was to start with how to talk to your child about addiction, which Dave and I are actively struggling with. But then also, you know, it stemmed beyond that to if you personally grew up with an addicted parent. And so needless to say, I got tons and tons and tons of messages that are incredible. And I was getting very anxious because I want to like read all of them and talk about it. And Dave's like, no, we're not doing all that. So, you know, there's just so much information and knowledge and poetic responses that I want to share. But
well, the thing is, like, I because of the This American Life piece, I wanted to do an episode with Linda because it's like, you know, it's a big deal, and I wanted to have an episode where it's like at home and it's real casual and comfortable. And Linda's like, well, what are we going to talk about? And I was like, we can talk about depression and seasonal disaffectation disorder.
Do that, you know? Kind of stuff.
And Linda's like,
I want you to just yell at me like you yell at Chris.
Linda's like, I don't want to do that. And then, and she's like, I'm not going on the show and doing that. You don't even have to say seasonal disaffected disorder. What did I said seasonal disaffectation disorder, or whatever. Yeah. And Linda was like, well, we could do it about telling, you know, our kids about addiction. And then it kind of struck me also because our daughter is asking a lot of questions right now. She's asking.
And then she's coming home now because she's turning 9 in like 2 weeks. But she's coming home now from school a couple times this year with stories that her friends have been talking about, their parents who have addiction issues. So clearly this is an age right around 8, 7, 8. Where it's a conversation that's being had. So our daughter, what was this last week? She came. It was like we're getting ready for school, and she came down and plopped on the couch and just said, you know, she said, "Daddy, why were you not living with us for that period of time? And how come you stayed in the city? And why did I have to live with Grandma and Grandpa?" And what? And all of a sudden, Dave and I are looking at each other like, "What the hell?" It really just came out of nowhere. And but didn't come out of nowhere for her. It was really clear that this was something she was thinking about.
Well, it's her origin. She's wondering what the hell happened. Why weren't we together for the first 5 years?
Why was I born in the city? Why was I living in an apartment in the city with Mom and Dad? Why then is so many of my little baby childhood pictures being held by Grandpa, or, you know, playing in my parents' house, and which is pretty much where she lived for her first
playing in your parents'
my
house.
Her grandparents' house, and then we moved. You know, when her and I moved into my apartment, it was just her and I. And then I, you know, did have a couple boyfriends during that time. So there's a lot of confusion, you know. I think she just accepted it for what it was for a long time, but now the questions are starting. So.
And also, she had lots of time with me in Manhattan. You know, we had a little life in Manhattan,
right.
Me and her.
She'd go to Manhattan every week. And, yeah.
You know?
So she wanted to know, you know, what happened. And we weren't really prepared. And so.
I wasn't prepared because, like, I stopped doing heroin when she was one. You know, I did heroin one time after she was one. But I did smoke pot for a long period of time when we were right. together, when I was a father. You know what I mean? I visited Nora every week. She came to visit me every week after she was two. Mm-hmm. And I became, you know, I started smoking weed again. And I got clean completely when she was five. And she didn't really see the difference between, you know, where I was at then or where I was years
right.
ago.
She had no clue what was going on for you.
But now she's asking questions, and I've cultivated this amazing relationship with her. Then I'm scared of fucking
right.
up. You know, I don't want to tell her. Like,
right. It's not that she doesn't know that there was something going on with you. She just knows. Her question was more about like geography. Right? Like, well, why didn't I live here? And why did Daddy live away from us? And why weren't we together? Well, what happened? And then there's also times lately where Dave goes to a meeting and you know, well, where's Daddy? And I'll say, well, Daddy's at a meeting. Well, what meeting? Well, what do they do at the meeting? What's the meeting for? So, like, it's just getting crazy all of a sudden with the questions. And you know, to be fair, Dopey, you know, Dave isn't the best at being discreet, as we know. So there's like Dopey stickers around the house. And, you know, so she's like, she knows Daddy does a podcast called Dopey because at this point, like, it's impossible.
It's too much.
It's so big that, like,
it's not so big.
It's very big in our world.
Well,
in your world.
I try to, because I have to record interviews at night. I have to.
She's asked me before, she'll pick up a Dopey sticker with that freaking head on it. And like a chopped off head. That's like creepy. And she's like, what is this about? And I'm like, ask your father. Like, I don't even know what to do with all of this information. So we need to start to kind of get our shit together. And
I hate that she's going to listen to Dopey.
So, well,
I hope she doesn't listen.
I don't think
to
we're going
to
talk too much about that piece. So anyway, I got different feedback. You know, so the general theme I got from the listeners and from people I've been talking to is the worst thing that you can do is do nothing, is to say nothing.
We did answer, though. What did you tell her? What did we say about the meetings when she asked?
You know what? I said it kind of, I guess, is a good segue to the conversation we'll have to have. As I said, Daddy goes to these meetings.
Because he's sick.
No.
That's what he said.
I said Daddy goes to these meetings because it helps him feel better. And it's, and at one point it was good because his meeting was at a church. This church that we had actually gone to one or two times. And I said, well, Daddy, I said, then it didn't feel like this was true. I said, Daddy is at church, but Daddy's Jewish. It was just very confusing.
But I was at church.
Very confusing.
I say it's a lot like church. That's something I said.
I said it's a place where Daddy goes, and it's spiritual, and it goes to help him feel better, and it, you know, helps keep him, you know, making good decisions.
But that's all true.
You know.
That's all true.
Right. But then how come Mommy isn't?
Because you don't need spirituality, and you don't need
Mommy's perfect. Yeah, you don't need help. Was what I said.
You don't need help making good decisions.
So anyway, you know, so obviously, like, the age is a piece. You know, what is the age that, you know, a lot of people were saying, you know, they're not sure what the right age is to even start the conversation. I love what Mike. I wrote a couple things down. Mike said, "You can say it's the Cookie Monster, but sad." That was my favorite.
Well, there's a lot of, like, weird addicted characters in cartoons. Right. You have
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby. Homer is a total addict. Yeah. And Homer's an alcoholic.
Right.
You know, like, I've been watching The Simpsons with Nora, and I haven't showed her, like, the alcohol, like, episodes because she doesn't understand that. I didn't want to start talking about this until she was, like, 14.
Right.
You know, when, like, people were – probably kids will be drinking when she's 14. She's still – you know, got one foot in being a little kid.
But that's why I thought the Cookie Monster but sad was, like, actually, like, brilliant. That if you have to kind of, whatever.
I don't even want to, I still don't want to even talk about it with her.
So, a couple of the different things people shared, and one of them, who I've kind of jotted it down.
Well, I think it's also impressive. Linda posted this on the Dopey Nation Facebook page, and everybody, like, so many people responded. Well,
this affects every single person, because people even wrote about how they talk to their own parents about their own addiction. You know, how do you explain addiction? Mainly, and with the larger philosophical conversation that could be fun to have at another time, is just how do you just even explain? What's the language different people have chosen to use to explain addiction? And it's so crazy the different answers people have, and it's really
so. Let's hear some.
No, but just Natalie mentioned. That they told her and her husband told her 6-year-old that drugs are poison and can be fun at first. And the problem is that not everyone can stop and it leads to bad things. And it's interesting that two of my daughter's friends' parents also chose to go like the poison route, where other people have chosen to go, you know, the sick route, saying they're sick, they're sick. So we initially tried that with our daughter and she goes, well, what's wrong with that? You?
What's wrong with him?
Well, what do you have? Well, what is that? So, like, the sick one kind of didn't work for us. So then I, and Dr. Drew corrected me on the
I went on Dr. Drew's show, and that guy, what's his face? Mike Catherwood was on the show, and he had a kid, and he was talking about how he told his kid, and we had just had this conversation with,
like,
our
the
kid.
The date literally that morning.
That morning, so I was like, well, what should I say? And what did the all-knowing Dr. Drew say?
Well, what I said in the morning when this conversation was sprung on us is I said,
Daddy's very sick.
No, I said,
Daddy's mentally ill.
I said, well, Daddy, what I'm trying to remember what I said. I said, well, Daddy needed to stay in the city to get, because he had
something wrong with his brain.
No, I didn't say brain. I said Daddy had some things going on with himself that he needed to work on that was keeping him from being able to be a good daddy. And so we thought it was better for him to stay in the city and for us to come here and live with Grandma and Grandpa while Daddy got himself better. And she, well, what was wrong with him? I mean, everything we said was like quick fire response. And so I went the road, which was too over her head, according to Dr. Drew. I said, well, Daddy had some mental health issues. And I said, you know how Mommy's a therapist and I help people who have mental. So I agree with Drew. He said that he says, if you're going to go that route to say something was wrong with his brain, which felt extreme to me, but to say there was something with his brain that, you know, something was up. And then I guess you would take that into the addiction conversation. So we have to revisit all of this. It's very, it's still very like.
So what, I mean, so what else did the Dopey Nation give you?
Okay, so that was our conversation with our daughter that now we're left like needing to revisit because it was left that daddy has mental health issues, which she probably didn't understand, and that he goes to meetings.
To get better. To get better. So, but I wonder though, like.
So we need to do some work on this area.
Do you think she carries it around with her though? Like. Or do you think she doesn't think about it?
No, but clearly that was something that she was that was on her mind. And you know, I wonder sometimes when she sees families that, you know, where babies are being born, you know, where she sees families that clearly they are together from beginning to present, if she makes a comparison, like, well, my life didn't look like that.
Well, how about her friends who like their parents are in active addiction? You know, yeah. And they have to live with their parents gone and their parents doing, like, totally crazy things.
So she
like,
also has another friend where they're saying that the parent is sick. And my daughter's coming to me a lot about that. It's her best friend, one of her best friends, saying, she really wants, you know, and that was what a bunch of listeners said. When you get to this point that it clearly our daughter's at, it's better to just be very direct, honest, and clear. And that's very scary, I think, for Dave. I also think it could be, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if an 8-year-old brain can really digest that.
Let me say this. It's like this. Because I've been in recovery for 3.5 years, I don't want to say I was on drugs, you know, because
but
like,
why?
Because I don't want her to have that association with drugs and her daddy when she's 8, when she doesn't really know what she's dealing with. Whereas, you know, and this is not necessarily right, but this is the way I think about it. Whereas if you're an 8-year-old and your parent is using and your parent constantly comes back to the house, constantly fucks it up, constantly right. has to leave again.
You're saying because you're in you're sober, it's not, you don't need to have that conversation
yet.
As you would if the person's actively going to rehab.
Right. Constantly leaving, constantly something bad is happening.
Erratic behavior.
Like total
mood swings.
Mood swings. Right. They're not there for the kid. And it's like, well, why isn't mommy
then
taking care of me?
Then somebody should sit down with that child and say, listen, this is what's going on.
I mean, because it's also like an explanation where you know that mommy is not acting well, you know that it hurts, you know that it keeps happening, and if you can associate that with drugs, you know that drugs are bad. Do you know what I'm saying?
But you know what? Like, I'm thinking about, ever since my daughter was in kindergarten, her elementary school does a drug awareness week
right.
where she, I almost like shit myself when she was in kindergarten and got off her bus wearing her big bright red say no to drugs ribbon, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like
they so start early.
I was like, whoa. And then the school's decorated with red ribbons and it's like it's a drug awareness, so they are being told. I don't know, I feel like this is like an uncharted area that needs to be like worked on.
But with this, with me, and I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying because I'm stable, because I'm right. a provider, because
she wants answers,
and she'll get them. I'm just giving right. this. I'm just laying this out. I don't feel like being like, oh yeah, before you were born, I was on drugs. You know what I mean?
But
or,
why?
Or after you
but
were
I
born?
But I want to know why.
Because I don't want her to judge me.
Okay. Well, so that's the larger piece there.
I don't want her to,
about judgment.
Well, I'm worried about judgment, and I don't want her to think that her family is less good, or her daddy is less good, or she's less good because she had a drug addict father. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff in there.
But I don't know how much you can protect her from where she's going to go with this information, and that's for her whole life.
What I do know is that 8 and 9, I feel like it's just a little bit still too young, whereas I feel like in the next year or so, it's going to come out. But I feel like she's getting more sophisticated by the day. You know what I mean?
So if you were let's hypothetically say that we are going to have that conversation.
Well, we are.
Like tomorrow.
Okay? We're not.
Right. But let's say that because I'm actually not sure I agree with you that we shouldn't. And this is kind of what I was asking the listeners and got some great feedback. What do you think right now you would be comfortable saying if we were going to explain to her the truth?
Well, that's the other thing, is I think that the This American Life thing might be so big that everyone knows, and it's going
to
be.
But let's bring it back to the here and now.
I would say, I mean, I would
deal
with.
Just give it a shot.
I think I would say that...
Pretend I'm Nora.
I don't
Should
like
I go to, get my bunny and Piggy?
I don't like to do those things.
Put my hair in pigtails?
I'm not interested in
We're
that.
We're going to do some role play right now.
Maybe later. Let's just say... Let's just say...
Just try it.
I'm not doing that.
No, I don't mean it.
I don't want to do your gestalt fucking exercise. I'm not doing that.
You don't have to pretend it's me, but I want you to just try to explain...
Pretend this chair is
No,
her.
But just try to explain right now how you would say age appropriately about what went on with you.
I would say...
would you say sick? Poison? Like, what do you think about some of these...
I would say... No, I mean, you know how I talk.
I'm asking...
I would say that... that I had some serious problems when I was younger, and I wound up doing drugs, and I got addicted to them, and I couldn't stop doing them for many, many years, and my life got really, really bad.
Unmanageable.
I don't think she would understand unmanageable. Sure. Okay. I would say my life got really, really, really bad, and I met Mommy in the middle of it, or close to the end of it, and then we had you, and it took me a few years to finally get off the drugs, and I'm embarrassed that that happened, but I'm super happy that I'm sober now, and that I'm a good daddy, and that I love you more than anything. I would say that.
I think that sounds really good.
We're not doing it right. Tomorrow, though. I promise you.
So when she gets off the bus...
We're not doing that. You like that? You think that's the way to do it?
I mean, I think we need to process that a bit more because I'm definitely feeling a lot of anxiety too. But I think that part of what Nora knows about you is that you are very blunt and direct, and you just kind of lay things out there, you know. So
my best parenting moment, and to Linda, my worst parenting moment was when she got pregnant. Nora was really upset, you know. She was really upset. Yeah. And me and Nora are really close, you know. And we'll go for drives and we'll talk about stuff in ways.
That's what I'm saying. You already talked to her. I feel you've always spoken to her, even when she was little. You didn't do all the baby shtick.
No.
So that's why this.
But this is this is like one of my favorite parenting stories. Okay. So, and I'll talk to her in a way, like, when Linda's not around, that Linda can't, like, stop me from talking to her in the way that I like
to
talk to her.
Which I do have to do a lot.
And so me and her are driving around, and she goes, "Daddy, I don't want to be a sister." And I said, "It'll be good." And she said, "Why will it be good?" And I said, "Because when me and Mommy die, you'll have somebody to talk to."
I know.
And she gave me this look. And I started laughing. And I said, "When me and Mommy die, you're going to have this person now." You know, and that's good. And it didn't, it worked for her. Uh-huh. She liked it because she knows
how
I am.
And then she lost sleep for the next week thinking, "Mommy and Daddy are going to die."
So why don't you read some of the Dopey Nation?
But one of the other things I wanted to say is that she knows that Dave was addicted to cigarettes, right?
Right.
She knows that Daddy, we talk about all the time, that Daddy has a horrible sweets addiction that he actively is, that he can't get a handle on. But we know that he got a handle.
It's not that bad.
It's really bad.
What do you mean?
We're not getting into that.
It's not really
it's
bad.
It's very, very severe.
What do you mean?
And then the cigarettes, and she knows that her uncle is addicted to cigarettes and can't stop. So, I mean, I do think that we can maybe use...
She has a wheelhouse of understanding.
Right.
Now read some of
this
stuff.
Let's read. I liked what Laura wrote about what not to say, which I thought was an interesting take. She wrote, "Hi, Linda. I'm so glad you, Dave, and your beautiful girls are doing well. It gives me great hope for my 25-year-old son, who is 4 months clean. He had a shit set of DNA handed to him. His dad was an alcoholic addict who died of a heroin overdose when my son was 5 years old. It was obviously devastating, and having been through that as a mother, I can definitely tell you what not to say to your child. I honestly didn't know what to say to my son. One day his dad was there, and then he was just gone. Trying to explain an overdose to a 5-year-old just seemed incredibly difficult. We as a family opted to tell him that his dad died in his sleep, an extremely bad idea. The poor kid slept with me until he was almost 12 years old because he was terrified I was going to die in my sleep. Another not to do is choosing not to have a gravesite. His dad's family never put any sort of memorial where my son could visit anywhere. That could have given him something more tangible than the fact his father was simply no longer with us. He never grieved the loss and always had a tremendous void that he tried his best to fill with drugs. We should have told him the truth as simply as we could from the beginning. Fast forward to today, he's doing well after his time in treatment. The first thing they addressed with him after detox was his unaddressed grief over the loss of his father and his irrational fear of losing me. He understands now that his father was sick and never left him intentionally. I'll forever regret not telling him the truth. It would have made much more sense to him than what we said and very possibly could have changed the course of his life. I hope this has been helpful, and please feel free to share my thoughts if you want to. Thank you both for all you do for the Dopey Nation. I can't express how much this podcast has helped me. Best regards, Laura. And obviously that's an extreme, you know, not an extreme, but that's a, when your parent is now gone because of their use. But I'm sure plenty of listeners are have that going on too, where they have to go to rehab, or they have to, or they can't be in their child's life for many years in order to get themselves back on track. So I thought that I appreciated, you know, I appreciated that response.
I think another thing that I really want to say, because there are, I just know this, that there are a ton of listeners who have kids that are using, and they, you know, and I know, like, I don't think you're bad parents because you're using your drug addicts. And I got very lucky that somehow, you know, I got recovery within the first 5 years of our daughter's life. And that doesn't happen for everybody. But what I want to say, you know, without sounding sanctimonious or preachy, is that it can. You know, it's like, it's possible that you get a handle on this thing and you get your shit together and you get to be a parent. You get to experience that and you get to be a good parent. It's like, it's something that, I mean, even when I was on drugs, I knew that I was going to be a good parent. Like, I just had it in my head that I was going to get there. You know, and that's really what got me off drugs, right, was like that I could not live with the idea of not being a decent parent, probably because my parents were incredibly good parents. And the idea of not being that for her was it was hard for me to live with. But anybody can get clean. And I mean, like, mm-hmm. This is not like a big fucking self-help show, whatever. But if you're listening and you have kids and you're like, this is so annoying, just know that you could pull it off. You could get it together, you
right.
know?
Right.
Anyway, yeah. Read another one. You got another one?
There's just so many.
So do the one from James Kelly. And James Kelly, I don't think I ever shouted out on Dopey, but he's been listening for a long time, and I always love to hear from him. And he seems like a Dopey listener who has his shit together. So good for you, James. Love to hear from you. Let's hear it.
And I know we're running out of time, but Dan actually wrote a blog piece to his kids.
All right, well, do you want to do Dan's?
No, but I just wanted to share that it was so good. He actually wanted to like write his thoughts out, and he helped explain to his kids, you know, physically what happens. You know, he took the opposite approach than kind of.
Are you going to do James?
What you're afraid of? I just want to say he actually sits down and explains like the physical effects of addiction, the mental, like he was just full on, like, honest.
I like Dan too, so why don't you do Dan and we'll end on James.
All right. So James.
So you're not going to do what I said. You're going to do James.
No, but this is up right now on my face. James said, hi, Linda. Hope all's well. I'm from the Dopey Nation and seen your post. My favorite memory was when I drove from Philly back home to my folks' house in New York and told my mother I was addicted to heroin. She took a big drag of her Winston Red that she's been talking about quitting for years unsuccessfully and said to me, why don't you just stop? I knew then she wouldn't get it, so I just said, okay, Ma, you're right, I'll stop. However, it didn't work. Ha ha. And I liked that because there's so many addicts out there who don't realize
they're addicts.
It's all the same. So anyway.
I smoked Winston's for a period. It's a rough cigarette.
I like the long drag on her Winston. Like
you ever smoke Winston's?
She needed that nicotine in order to deal with her son's like
heroin
crazy
addiction.
News that he was addicted to drugs. I thought that was funny. Okay.
Where's Dan's blog?
Do you want to hear Dan's yeah. blog? I like Dan's because he kind of gives a concrete
it's about kids.
Piece of what he shared with his kids about his drinking. So this is part of what Dan wrote a really cool message, but this is part of what he shared. I was talking with my older kids about addiction. I don't want to scare them or go over their heads, but I first started experimenting with cigarettes and alcohol when I was 12. So I feel like it's probably worth having those awkward conversations now before they have to deal with those decisions. I would hate for them to not have all the information when confronted with the choice. So I tried to explain how there are two sides to addiction, the physical addiction and the mental addiction. Physical addiction, I explained, was kind of like when you are really hungry, and the hungrier you get, the less you can think about anything but food. And eventually, you feel like you're going to die if you don't eat, except with addiction, you have to power through that, and slowly your body stops needing whatever substance you're addicted to. So I think that's interesting to use the physical piece, because kids can really understand that, you know, what it feels like. And then he said, I explained mental addiction like you're in a very loud room with people yelling, like yelling all around you, and you feel like you're going to go crazy. The drugs or alcohol make it so you don't hear the noise for a little while, but you need more and more to quiet the noise, and the voices never actually stop.
I feel like that explanation only an addict would understand, though. Like,
The kids are like, Dad, I don't hear voices screaming around me.
If I told Nora that, she'd be like, what are you talking about?
But you could put a spin on that. Right. You could use that and change it around.
It's just funny.
Recovery is about learning to find peace, quieting the noise. You can find healthy ways to tune out the noise you can't quiet, which is when you could say, like, and I go to a meeting because it helps me to, you know.
I exercise, I run around, I cook, I do this, I do that.
Whatever. So he said, I'm sure that's a very oversimplified understanding of addiction, but they seem to get it. And honestly, it helps me a lot to think of it that way, too. So I like that.
That's great. Yeah. And so ends this dopey segment on social work. The social work dopey segment. If you guys have children and you had to tell them about your drug addiction, you know, please send us an email, dopeypodcast@gmail.com. If you hated the social work segment, send in an email, dopeypodcast@gmail.com. But let's get back to a little dopey. So we'll play this. I got a voicemail. It's longer than I like to play, but I think it's the spirit of dopey, and it's this guy who's on Twitter. He calls himself Habitual Felon on Twitter.
Oh.
And here he is.
What's up, Dopey Nation? It's Habitual Felon. Holler at me. Dave knows who I am. If you don't know who I am, step your game up and follow me on Twitter. I'll follow you back. So I just wanted to leave a memo for some dopey. And, I mean, this isn't extremely dopey. I have some crazy dopey stories, but this one is kind of important to me, and I'd like to share it on your platform if you find it worthy. So me and my good friend at the time were both drug addicts, of course. We're IV heroin and cocaine and crack and whatever else we could get a hold of users. Just as an aside, I've been clean from heroin and cocaine for 10 years. I still smoke weed, so I don't do the meetings or anything like that. It's just doesn't work for me, and this does. So that's what I've been doing. Anybody out there who's getting in a tizzy about that, you can go fuck yourself. You know, I'm not living my life for you, and I don't need your approval. So I think anybody out there who needs to smoke weed to stop smoking crack or stop shooting dope, I say you fucking go for it. And, you know, if that's something that you want to address once you have a few years under your belt of being clean and sober from hard drugs and you want to try and take a break from weed, then go for it. And that's my rant. That's all I'll say on that. So me and my good friend, my best using friend, we'll just call him Wacko, went to cop some dope, some heroin one day. And we had two other addicts with us who were, you know, acquaintances and friends, but they weren't, you know, number one ride or die guys like Wacko was for me. And so I was in the back seat. Wacko was driving this old shitty Explorer, and it was only two doors, so you had to climb behind the seats to get in and out. And his driver's seat was broken, so I was effectively stuck into the vehicle. And, of course, the other two guys were in the passenger front and rear seats. And so we pull into the hood, and, you know, there's all these dealers, like, running up. It's kind of an open-air drug market. And, you know, they're showing us what they got, and their bags are fattest, and their stamps are the best, and blah, blah, blah. So Mark, as being in the front seat, is my representative. He has my money, which is the last little bit of money in the world that I have, by the way. And we're in a cop, you know, I think it was 3 for $50 at the time. I'm in North Carolina, so prices are a little elevated, but we were going to cop three bags and split them. And he was my representative, and the guys on the passenger side of the vehicle were kind of a couple, and you know, the guy in the front seat was their representative. So he copped from somebody on his side, and we copped from a completely separate person on the driver's side of the vehicle. And so after we got our dope, the guy who the passengers copped dope from told us, like, hey man, you may want to look at those bags, you know, that guy has beat people before, you know, or ripped them off or whatever. And, you know, you might be wanting to get some bags for me once you realize what you got from him. So we checked the bags out, and sure enough, they're fucking empty. Don't ask me why Wacko didn't check that. I mean, I was upset with him about that. But, I mean, as soon as we figure it out, and this is kind of why they call him Wacko, he's just a spur-of-the-moment type of guy. He jumps out of the truck once he realizes he's been robbed or beat, and he grabs a pistol. He's got a 22 revolver, and he just jumps out, and the guy who sold it to us was walking away, and he says, "Hey," and the guy looks back, realizes that he's on to him and the gig is up, and he keeps walking. So then Wacko holds the gun up, shoots 3 shots in the air, pop, pop, pow, and the guy starts running, and so Wacko takes off after him with the gun. You know, we're in the middle of the hood, a bunch of white guys, but you know, in a predominantly black neighborhood on the strip, surrounded by black guys, and this is what's going on. You know, I got my best friends out running around with a pistol, trying to chase down a dope dealer who just robbed us. And so I'm trying to get out, but the driver's seat is broken, so I cannot get out from the back seat without going through the passenger side door, which has 2 addicts who actually got dope, and they're just, you know, they're not bothered at all, so they're not trying to let me out even a little bit. And so I end up having to like climb over the front driver's seat into that front seat and get out, and I run around the corner to try and find Wacko because he is out of sight at this point. I haven't heard any more gunshots, but I can hear yelling because they're only a block away. So I get up and I get around the corner, and he's got the guy on the ground with like the gun right up to his chest, you know, and he's like checking his pockets. Yeah, and I mean, this guy's probably 145 pounds, my friend, and you know, I mean, the other guy's probably 180, 190. I mean, he's a stout dude, but that gun really equalized it, so he was willing to comply. Mark put his hand, Wacko, it doesn't matter, you can leave it in. He put his hand in the guy's pocket and took our money back and left him on the ground, and we just kind of walked away. We kept turning back to make sure he wasn't coming after us. So we go back and cop from the guy who sold legit dope the first time. And so all 4 of us addicts are together now, and everything's good, right with the world. We're all about to use. We're sitting in the back seat, and we're fixing our shit up. You know, we're all IV users. So I'm mixing up in a water bottle, and I have the full water bottle between my legs, like with my knees holding it. But because I'm mixing up in the water bottle cap, there's no cap on it. And I have the cap, the small syringe cap, the part that goes over the needle tip, in my mouth as I'm just kind of performing my ritual of mixing it up. Something happens. I don't know if we were driving and we hit a bump. I don't know if I sneezed. I don't know if it's just my nervous system was fucked up. But either way, something happened and my legs twitch, and it squeezes the open bottle, and it's almost full of water. So it shoots water into my face, and I recoil back. And when I do, I accidentally suck the needle cap into my airway, and it just fits in there somehow perfectly and blocks it completely. Airtight seal. So I mean, I'm in the back seat dying. They didn't even notice at first because I couldn't make a sound. I was just and so eventually I start clapping my hands to get their attention, and the guy in the back seat just reaches over when he sees what's going on and smacks me in the back as hard as he can. And when he does, the needle cap shoots out and into the front seat, and I just big breath of air, and you know, he basically saved my life that day, and his name was Davey, and you can leave that in also. But anyway, so Davey saved my life that day, and we all got high and everything was good, and that's the end of that story, really. But the kind of interesting part is that Davey at the time had a fiance of 13 years. They'd been together for 13 years and engaged for like 4 or 5, and they were both addicts. And maybe a year later, Davey died due to heart issues related to his addiction that he just couldn't shake. I mean, he had a pacemaker in his heart, and whenever we would smoke crack together, his heart would beat so fast that you could literally hear the pacemaker. And he would joke that whenever his heart slowed down enough that you couldn't hear the pacemaker anymore, it was time for him to take another hit. But I mean, that's just the kind of guy he was. But he was just a great guy, ultimately, and so was his fiance. And he passed away, and maybe a year after he passed away, I began to develop a relationship with his fiance, and we ended up hooking up, and we got clean together, believe it or not. And so we've both been over 10 years clean and sober from hard drugs, and it's worked out beautifully. We have three kids, and you know, we're just a normal family at this point. Well, not normal, but from the outside looking in, we would appear normal. And yeah, it was I just found it to be a bit kismet, you know. It seems like kismet energy that the guy who saved my life, I ended up with his fiance, and she ended up saving my life as well, which, I mean, if you ask her, she would probably tell you that I saved hers. So it was a mutual thing. But I just thought that that was a kind of cool thing that I would like to leave on Dopey. I'll definitely call back and leave some more crazy dopey shit. I mean, I've got stories of being fucked up on Xanaxes and sleeping with prostitutes and losing my wallet in their home and walking home in my underwear and coming back and breaking into the trap house to get my shit back. So I'll definitely call with some more gritty shit, but that is my favorite dopey story so far, because it was a fateful day, and I really think that some things are meant to be. And if he hadn't saved me then, you know, obviously my life wouldn't be what it is, and I'm sure hers wouldn't be what it is. And just that little pivotal point changes everything, that ripple effect. I thought it was cool, and I'd like to share it with you guys. And Davey, if you're up there watching, just know I'm taking good care of her, brother, and I appreciate it. And Chris, while we're talking to people in the heavens, Chris, shout out, buddy. We all fuck up, man. I believe, personally, that your presence is still with us. I believe that you're still watching and monitoring what Dave does to make sure he doesn't fuck up Dopey. And I got to tell you, man, so far, he has not. He's doing a great job, and I'm really enjoying it, and I'm so glad that it's carrying on. And I'm really, really surprised at how interactive the community is, and I look forward to getting to know all of you guys more. So hit me up on Twitter, at Habitual Felon. Dave will retweet me. If he doesn't, I'll stop listening. Shout out to Hot Wheels. Stay strong, Dopey Nation. Toodles.
What an amazing voice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm such a fucking dick where I'm like, don't make it longer than 6 minutes.
I'm like over here like
crying.
It was just beyond.
Well, he opened it. You missed the beginning where he said, you know, how he stopped smoking crack and shooting dope, but he still smokes weed, and fuck you if you want to tell him not to, because he's got his shit together. And what an amazing dopey story, especially after our ridiculous social work segment. thank God. Habitual Felon.
Habitual Felon, how did you tell your kids?
Yeah, how did you tell your kids? And,
let me know.
And fucking thank you for everything you do on Twitter. I'm actually sending you, he gets a hat today, which he paid for, by the way. And also, Habitual Felon is off in, I think he's in North or South Carolina, putting up stickers on behalf of Dopey. Yeah. So more
he's
power to you.
He's also a beautiful storyteller.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
Fucking
and
great.
And a great story.
Great story. So Linda wants to stop recording, but then we got stuff to do.
Well, it's because there's a baby that's about to wake up from a nap.
No.
And Dave is so dedicated to the podcast, and she's, mind you, she's 8 months. He goes, well, can't you just, like, put on a movie for her? It's like, she's 8 months.
We got a little bit of time
holy
to go,
cow.
And we're
going
to finish. You finish what you start. Now, my good friend and dopey pseudo-producer, Sam, is very sick. I don't know if you know this. He got pneumonia.
Oh.
He was, like, near death.
I thought you meant he's, what'd you call Chris?
Severe mental, SMI.
I thought you meant Sam as SMI.
The fans loved SMI, and maybe we should
it's
bring
so
it back.
I like what, SMI.
Severe mental illness?
Yes,
I love it, too.
It's very funny.
Sam is possibly severe mental illness, but he's incredibly committed to Dopey. And Sam has always loved the stash word, and he wanted me to play the stash word with you. Do you know what the stash word is?
I don't know what the stash
word is. All right, hold on for 1 second. That's how shows, thank God that Linda doesn't listen to too much Dopey. Thank God. Hold on. Let's see if Siri can help me. Siri, time 1 minute.
It's nice of you to ask. Now, can I help you with something?
Set a minute timer. Fucking Siri is so fucking stupid. She's so annoying.
I don't think she does that kind of
Siri,
thing.
Siri, set a minute timer. Siri.
Siri doesn't do that.
Fucking Siri. Siri, help me. Help me, Siri. All right, fuck Siri. I love Siri. We did whole episodes where Siri timed a lot of stuff. All right, the stash word is a game. What are you, texting?
I have it. No, there's a I have a timer on my phone.
I have it, too.
All right, well, then leave Siri alone.
All right, stash word is a game.
Okay.
Where I ask you questions that are drug-related and you answer. You have 1 minute, and we'll see how far into it you can get. You ready?
Okay.
And these are Sam's questions for the stash word. A collection of pus in body tissue at the skin surface.
Abscess.
Yes. Getting high from inhaling household items.
Huffing.
When high, it's the perception of someone or something being there that is not.
Hallucinating.
Crack cocaine is classified as what kind of drug?
Stimulant.
Try again. Sure, it is. But we'll pass on that. I never liked that one.
Okay.
This type of flower has gray.
Opiate. Opium.
Yes. Opium what?
A poppy.
Yes. The main chemical in cannabis that causes.
THC.
Yes.
These are easy.
An LSD experience is called a.
Trip.
This chemical is known as poppers. Gay people took them.
Oh, meth?
No. You put it up your nose.
Oh, I thought you meant we could. Put up your nose.
You don't know. Say pass.
Pass.
The full name of the synthetic highly addictive drug that is similar to cocaine. We're done. You're done. You did okay. The one you missed, everyone misses, is amyl nitrate. Disco drug.
Oh, poppers?
Yeah. You would have loved those drugs. That would have. I could have seen Linda back in the day in the club in her little sleeveless dress.
With putting it up my nose?
Yeah, you like putting stuff
what
up
What was
your
the
nose.
Last question?
Well, you missed three.
But what was
four.
It?
A cylinder that uses water through which smoke is drawn and cooled.
A bong.
Correct. A type of depressant prescribed to relieve anxiety and or panic attacks.
Does it Xanax?
Benzodiazepines.
That's not a depressant.
Okay. Chronic consumption of alcohol can cause this sometimes fatal disease of the liver.
Cirrhosis?
Correct. Good. You did very well.
Those were very easy.
Yeah. Well, listen, that was for Sam because he's sick. So, like, thank you, Sam.
Sam, get a hobby.
Well, get a hobby. Dopey is Sam's hobby. Thank God. And Sam is incredibly.
I actually really appreciated those questions because I sounded very. I knew the answer. So well, thank you, Sam.
You are a fucking drug counselor for years. If
I
you don't
go,
know those questions.
I did
questions,
go to school for many years for this area. Yeah. Except for poppers. Oh, man, I didn't know that.
Like, you never saw the Studio 54 movie or anything?
I don't remember.
All right. Now, this is another piece that I need you for. The other day at work, we had a surprise visitor, and she recorded a little message for Dopey.
Hi, my name is Kara Radziwill, formerly of The Real Housewives of New York City, and I'm listening to Dopey, and I just had the experience of microdosing in Aspen.
Was it fabulous?
I mean, I'd never obviously done anything like that, so it was mind-opening.
There you go.
Bye.
Thank you.
And now you're a real housewife of Suffolk County, so what do you think of that?
I liked Carol. I thought she was my favorite housewife.
She said that she would consider coming on the show, but she isn't a drug addict, and she only microdosed in Aspen.
Yeah, I don't know what how she would add to the show, but I do like Carol, so that's cool.
What do you guys think, Dopey Nation? Do we have the real housewife of New York City, Carol What's-Her-Face? She actually married a Kennedy relative. She's a multimillionaire. She was a news reporter. She was very nice. Nice lady. Terrible tipper, though.
Really?
Yeah, she tipped $3 on 17. God bless you, Carol. I shouldn't say that on the show, maybe. But
well, she's definitely not going to come on now.
She's not going to listen.
That's
Carol, can't you do better than $3 on 17? Give me a break. And I also made her something special. She comes in, she asks for scrambled eggs with salad.
That's odd.
In the middle of the day.
Right.
She was going to train. She was going to the gym.
Yeah.
And she needed the protein.
Okay. Anyway,
$3 on 17? Come on. No? Sam's going to listen. He's going to be like, you shouldn't have said how much Carol tipped.
Nah.
All right. Now I want to talk about Magnolia Cupcakes. Magnolia Cupcakes. What
I can't believe you have Magnolia Cupcakes written on your notepad.
It's the bottom of it.
Okay, well, let's.
We got two more things. We got Magnolia Cupcakes and we got a Christmas Carol. Which would you prefer to talk about first?
I don't know. I know the Christmas Carol. I don't know what Magnolia Cupcakes is.
I just want to say this. Magnolia Cupcakes is a cupcake chain that started in the West Village years ago. And on one of our first dates, Linda was like, oh, I heard Magnolia Cupcakes is really special. Let's go and get a cupcake. And I was like, okay. And we went over there, and in my memory, it was really good, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Fast forward to now, you know, I occasionally on my way home at Penn Station, there's a Magnolia Cupcakes, and I'll buy cupcakes and I'll bring them home. Every time I bring the cupcakes home, they're not good. Like, they have this reputation of being this major fucking perfect cupcake.
Well, I think it's because the Magnolia Cupcake you go to is in like slimy Penn Station. I bet if you went to the original spot down in the Village, they would still be stellar.
I'm saying this. The buttercream.
Then why do you keep buying them?
Because I know you like them. No,
me?
Yes.
Or is it because, how many did you eat last night?
1.5. How many did you eat? 1.5.
Okay.
Anyway, this is what I want to say. The buttercream icing, it's like too buttery and not sweet enough. And the chocolate isn't even chocolatey. Right. It's bullshit.
Where is the story going?
This is where it's going.
So let's go to the next subject.
I'm not done. If Magnolia Cupcake would just make a golden cupcake with a nice, rich, dark...
Mine was perfectly wonderful. I had the vanilla cake with the vanilla buttercream icing, and it was delicious.
You thought it was good?
Mm-hmm.
You thought it lived up to its
reputation. And Nora really enjoyed her red velvet.
That's not true. She left half of it in the morning. She said, it wasn't even good, Daddy. And I said, okay, you're right. And you know what she said? Because she's the apple of my eye. She said, you know what's good? I said, tell me. She said, the brownies were perfect.
Okay.
And I said, you're right. So the Magnolia, I said, you know what, Nora? From now on, I'm only buying the brownies. And I also said, the chocolate chip cookies look pretty fucking good. And she was like, you're right.
Right?
What?
And you want to talk about this subject, and you're like drooling because you have a problem.
No, the thing that really...
When we don't have dessert, this is the real demented thing. There was one night I was putting the baby to bed. It was like midnight, and the baby woke up, needed a bottle, and I see Dave pulling out of the driveway. It was like 1 in the morning.
It was 11.
It was midnight.
It was 11.
And I'm like, so
it
I
might
get...
Have been 10.
So I get...
It was like
I get
10.
On my phone. I go, where are you going? So then I'm having like trust issues. I'm like, why is he leaving in the middle of the night? Where's he going? And he really was going to get his drug. I'm like, where are you going? He goes, cookies.
I just texted cookies.
Cookies. So then in the morning, I'm like, what was up with that? He goes, oh, I went to 7-Eleven and bought those nasty, like, you know, those like a big cookie that's like in a plastic bag.
No,
they sell at 7-Eleven.
No. I'm glad you brought this
he
up.
He went and bought two of them. And then I think you did it like... Two days later.
I'm going to be honest here. I'm going to be totally transparent. I have to say a couple things. First of all...
there's a problem there. That you couldn't just go to bed. Like, you know, just call it a night.
Before we get to the problem, there's a lot to talk... There's a lot to unpack here, as they say. What?
Well, the baby is going to wake up.
Listen,
this and now is, there's a lot... There's not a lot to
discuss. This is probably
discuss.
The best part of the episode, so let's just bear with me. Okay, first of all, the first thing is that 7-Eleven, they don't make big cookies. They make a pack of two cookies in the pack. And
What brand? Is it 7-Eleven brand? I think that's weird.
7-Eleven brand. And I have to say that 7-Eleven's chocolate chip cookies aren't bad.
Do you know who has the best chocolate chip cookies?
Who?
Subway.
Oh, they're amazing.
But
Subway's not open at 11 o'clock at night.
Right, okay.
7-Eleven
is. That's because most people don't need to eat sweets at that hour.
Let me continue. The next time I went out, and there's a couple things to say. Mm-hmm. When you texted me, I got this first thing I got was this panic, I had this thought that I could be out doing the wrong thing. I could be out.
It was sneaky.
I could be. Well, you were in bed. I could be copping dope. I was even thinking I could be like buying a pack of cigarettes and smoking. Mm-hmm. But in reality,
I did wonder though because the windows were down.
Well,
so I was wondering if you did smoke.
No, I haven't smoked since that day. I haven't had a cigarette.
I don't trust you now after this late night.
You can trust that when I go out at late night, I'm going to get cookies. But this is even better for you because you're going to think this is fucking hysterical.
Okay.
The second time I go out, I go to 7-Eleven to buy my... I go to the 7-Eleven on Main Street to buy my cookies. They don't have any cookies.
Uh-oh.
I said, why don't you have any cookies?
Are you getting mad?
Yeah. I said, what is this? I said, and they never have them. I said, what is this? They said, I'm sorry, we don't have any cookies. I said, this is bullshit. You know, and I leave. And I drive to the 7-Eleven.
On Sunrise Highway?
Yeah, I drive to the 7-Eleven down there.
Which is quite a little bit of a drive.
And they don't have the cookies either.
Oh, no.
But what
Don't tell me you drove to Bayport after that.
What they have, and I don't know if you've ever heard of this, They have something that they call a super brookie. Have you seen these?
No.
A super brookie for $2.
It's a brownie cookie?
For $2.19, it's like this big, and it's half cookie, half brownie. And I was like, oh.
I'll take the brookie.
And I bought, and I was going to take a picture because I wanted to talk about it on Dopey, but I didn't. But the 7-Eleven super brookie.
This is a shout out for the brookie.
$2.20.
Maybe if you ever need to be anonymous on one of the, on a show, like when people call in and give their names, you can be the brookie.
What do you mean?
Like, you know when people, like, you read stuff and they don't want to give their name, so they're Worcester, what's it called?
Worcester.
Worcester?
Yeah.
You could be the brookie.
I'll say I'm the brookie?
Yeah, when you want to be anonymous on something, you'll just be the brookie.
I just say I'm Dave, but this brookie, holy shit.
Okay.
It's a very special treat, so that's that.
Right.
Now, the Christmas story.
Okay.
You tell the Christmas story.
I think we need to just call it an episode. That was great.
No. The Christmas story, you hear her?
Dave.
She's not awake, and we have a little bit of time to go, and it's going to be the fucking Christmas story.
All right.
So every year that I've known Linda, we go to her mom's friend's house to have Christmas, and I've always found it peculiar because, like, it's just like – it's also like her mom's friend is, like, one of the sweetest people in the world. And she, like, invites –
But they all wear – everybody wears Christmas sweaters. It's very – they're very religious.
It's very goy.
Like, lots of crock pots and
– very rich, heavy American food. But
all kinds of dips.
But the weird piece is that it's, like, a collection of weirdos.
Misfits.
And we're just as weird as anybody else. Sure. But it's a collection –
We fit right in.
We're just far more attractive than them. It's just a collection of weirdos – I'm just kidding, by the way – that nobody has families, and they're all getting together, and every year, for me, it's like I forget who they are every year, and every year I need to, like, relearn their names and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say this, and Linda might make me erase it, but before I got clean, the first time we went to this Christmas party, I rummaged through their medicine chest. And I stole pills, and I got high as shit at their Christmas party, and I was like, this is the best Christmas party I ever went to.
The best time.
And then we went home, and I nodded out and passed out. Yeah. And then the first year I went when I was clean, I opened up the medicine chest again just to see if she still had pills, and she did. But
it wasn't
the
medicine chest. It was the
cabinet.
The cabinet.
Medicine cabinet.
She didn't have, like, some giant chest full of drugs in the back room.
No, it was a medicine cabinet. Anyway, so this year there was some dude at the thing, and he's just talking to Blue Streak about this or that. And I like fancy socks. I just do. Every year I buy Linda's family. I buy every person in Linda's family fancy socks for years, and they don't like them. Her brother likes them, and Linda likes them.
Well, you got mad this year that no one ever buys you socks.
No one ever buys me socks. Take a hint?
But you can't buy people presents and then get mad that you're not getting.
For years, I buy these fancy socks. Can't one year? And then we're going through the fucking stockings, and my dad gets this pair of, like, fucking beautiful Gumby and Pokey socks. And the year before, I had given the same pair to your brother, and I thought your brother had regifted.
Did he regift?
No. But I was certain he had. It turns out your mother had given my dad the socks. And when I saw them, I just took them, you know?
Yes.
I stole my dad's socks, and I put them on, because I don't think I was wearing socks. And I love them. I love Gumby Pokey socks. And we went to the Christmas party, and I'm wearing this Gumby and Pokey socks, and I'm sitting on the couch, and this guy goes, "What's that on your sock?" And I said, "Oh, it's Gumby." And then he pokes me in the belly and says, "Pokey." And I was like, "What the fuck happened?" And like, Linda didn't know that this happened.
No.
And, like, the whole, you know, my dad actually went to Christmas that year, and my dad was, like, the hit of the party.
Yeah.
And they play that white elephant game. And I always am just, you know, I'm very anxious to leave. I've eaten a ton of food. I'm always tired. It's a long day. And we're driving home, and we're talking about everybody at the party. And I tell Linda this story. You remember?
Yes.
And she just freaked out because she couldn't imagine how I didn't tell her the story.
Well, you told us the story very casually, like there was nothing weird about that. And I said, wait, this man poked you in the belly and yelled pokey at you?
Yes.
And you were like, yes, he did. Like, I think you were in such shock at the part, you know, it's such a strange event to begin with. So you just, it almost probably seemed normal in the context of the weirdness.
Definitely. But anything can happen.
That's not normal.
Well, I don't know if that's a good dopey story to end on, but I think it'll be a good story to end on. Actually, I'm going to do one more thing. I want you to read this. Okay, hold on. Hold on. Time out. All right, before we go, I just want Linda to read the dopey review of the week.
Okay. Should I say who it's from?
Yeah, read the whole
thing. From Hip Unicorn.
What does it say?
Brilliant, best recovery podcast, 5 stars. Keep up the great work, Dave. Really enjoyed this week's episode with Ashley Hamilton. He has such a warm enthusiasm. You guys were great together. Nice job on that podcast research. I was impressed. Hi to Alan. I'm listening to EP...
Episode
108, Need a Chris Fix. I used to listen to Home...
It's a podcast.
Oh, all the time, but they quit, and I couldn't find a podcast that was as edgy and vibrant. Finally, I like how you have a loose structure. Toodles, stay strong, Dopey Nation.
Here, read this one too.
Still love this podcast, even without Chris. 5 stars, Mrs. Doe. Dave, keep up the great work and stop reading the bad reviews. You're so funny. Don't be so hard on yourself. LOL, sorry. Toodles. And I really like this week's podcast with Ashley. Good format. This an interview, then voicemail, email, and you.
And now read this one.
Oh, critical. Yeah, there's a lot of critical ones. We should read those too.
I always like it.
I'm out. 1 star. Just listened to my last episode. The decline started with Teen Mom.
This is my favorite one.
Geo123 !! Worst recovery in quotes podcast ever. If you want to relapse, then tune into this garbage. Time to fold it, dude. Game over. This is sad. These guys have been depressing lately. 1 star.
This is my favorite 1 star review.
This was a while ago.
Yeah, this is my favorite 1 star review.
That was from 2017.
Yeah, read this one.
Oh, this is from 2017. Not funny. Elisa. I love to listen to stories of addiction and recovery. It doesn't take a lot to entertain me, and I still found this podcast to be utter dog shit. Yeah. The guys have no real interesting personalities, and the guests are guys and girls in meetings that you can't stand listening to them share. It's like being in a really bad meeting with no timer. 10 crazy people in a coffee pot are more like a day room at a rehab.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. All right.
Thanks, Elisa.
Please keep sending in the nice reviews. And
the bad ones. I think they're fun, too.
No, I bad reviews are
Dave
not
good. Can't handle
No, I can't handle it.
He gets too upset.
It gets me really
but
upset.
But I think you should send them in anyway.
Okay. You're going to have to live with it.
That's true. Don't send them in. Good only.
Just send the good ones. And the Dopey Street Team, I'm going to do my best to send out a shitload of stickers. It's going to cost me a fortune of money. And Hatzer, En Route, This American Life, This Weekend.
Yay!
Linda, thank you so much for doing another episode.
And thanks for everything people have sent me. And send more, because I think we should revisit this again, this topic.
I think you guys should write an email.
In my social work minute.
It's like social work half hour. I think, or 40 minutes. But I think you guys should write in an email about how Linda needs to sit closer to the mic. Because like she like doesn't want to sit close to the mic. Why not?
I don't want to be too loud and annoying.
Oh, that's really your best when you're loud and annoying.
Okay.
Anyway, so stay strong, Dopey Nation, and fucking toodles for Chris, who we miss.
What's up, Dave and Chris? My name's Jake. I'm 25 years old from West Virginia. I just found Dopey about 2 weeks ago, and it's my favorite podcast of all time. Y'all are hilarious, and it's just gotten me through some really hard times. And though I'm not clean myself, you know, it gives me a lot of hope for the future. I really like Dave's song, and I'm going to do a little cover of it here on my banjo. Hope y'all don't mind too much. I wrote a third verse myself. Sorry about the poor quality. It's just on my phone. And, sorry about the banjo. This thing's hard to keep in tune. Take a walk around the world. Wonder
get some honey in my pockets, and I guess I'll just have to walk around my neighborhood. I wanna be good so bad. Wanna be so good, so bad, so bad. I wanna be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. Wanna take a ride up in the sky. Watch as airplanes just pass me by. And I wanna see a Lear jetliner take a dive. Just to show all of these people what it means to be alive. I wanna be good so bad. I wanna be so good, so bad, so bad. I wanna be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. In my burned out basement listening to the Dopey Show. Home friends I had are on this little radio. I keep checking on my pulse because it feels like I might die. But the thought of straightening up sounds so much better when you're high. And I wanna be good so bad. I wanna be so good, so bad, so bad. I wanna be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had.
I hope y'all hear this. Makes it through the big inbox of emails. Feel free to play a clip on the show if you want. If not, I know it kind of sucks. Alright, really appreciate it. Thanks, y'all.